Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Let me hide myself in Him. Tempted, tried. I'm going to be tempted. I'm going to be tried, sometimes failing. He, my strength, my victory wins. Jesus, I do now receive in more. Listen to this phrase. More than all in Him I find. Do you find all in Christ? I want to take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're studying the key words about the cross on the first Sunday of the month, our Communion Sunday. And I'm bringing out and want to point out to you the word reconciliation. Reconciliation. Romans chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that the depth of the Word of God might embed itself in the heart of each one here. For those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, may today be that day of Your work, performing in their heart regeneration and new life. For the believer that has a hard heart, I pray that You would break up the soil of that heart. For the believer that needs to exalt and rejoice in You and what You have accomplished, impart that through Thy Holy Spirit. May the depth of this passage embed itself in the heart. For we pray it in Thy name. Amen. We've been talking about words like vicarious, expiation, propitiation. Vicarious, Jesus Christ died in my place. Propitiation, He appeased the wrath of a holy God. These are key words about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is today in Christendom an easy believism, a belief that talks about come to the cross and everything will be okay. And it's shallow, and they don't talk about God's wrath and the need for men to repent. But should we come to the cross and approach it in a way that everything in my life will be okay? Can I come to Him in that way? Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. If I am a believer, therefore having been justified by faith, that is my condition, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's that talking about? Well, yeah, but I'm sorry, that was an ambiguous question to say, guess what the pastor was thinking. It's talking about the believer, right? It's the believer. I am justified. Through Him also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace which we stand and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And you want to rejoice, and you should. And not only this, but we also exalt in everything going perfect in my life. And I rejoice in the cross, in the provision for the perfection it brings to my life. Is that what it says? Do we look at the cross that way? It says, not only this, but we also exalt in our tribute. Finish the word. You're going to have tribulation and trials in this life. And just because you're a Christian does not mean that everything will be perfect. You come to the cross like you want a rabbit's foot, that will damn you. I'm going to push the edge a little bit this morning, because I think of verses like Matthew chapter 7 where it says, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many marvelous things in my name? And He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Some of you might get mad. I don't desire that. Don't desire that at all. But I cannot at the expense of maintaining a friendship, not causing some soul to look into their heart and say, I see truth that I never saw before and I need Christ. You understand where I'm coming from? I push it to the edge. I'm pushing it. I'm pushing the theological edge here this morning. If I push it far enough, some are going to be offended. Possibly. I don't want that. I hope not. I don't think I'm saying something contrary to the Word of God. And you could get mad, but there's some here that might have an easy believism, and there's the possibility because they weren't warned. And I could not face eternity and then someone say, why didn't you tell me? See where I'm coming from? I can't live with that. There is an easy believism. Now, there's a point to this next clip, and it's the response to this. This is an example of everything going nice in your life, and just come to Jesus, it'll be okay.
He has paid the price so that we may be totally free. That means free from bad habits and addictions, free from fear and worry, free from discouragement and depression, free from poverty and lack, free from low self-esteem. God wants us to be totally free. The Scripture tells us to take hold of all Christ died and rose again for. It all starts right here. You've got to know that you not only have a right to be free, but God's already empowered you with everything you need to overcome. You need to start seeing yourself the right way. You are not a sick person trying to get well. You are a well person fighting off sickness. God made you healthy and whole. Our original state is total freedom.
Is there something wrong with that? You are not, I forget exactly how he said it, but you are not a sick person trying to get well. Wasn't it something, wait a minute. You come to the cross and you're making the cross about you, and it's not about you in a sense. It's not about you having everything perfect. This is on 60 Minutes.
From mainstream churches, find Osteen's message misleading and shallow.
I think it's a cotton candy gospel.
Reverend Michael Horton is a professor of theology at Westminster Seminary in Escondido, California.
His core message is, God is nice, you're nice, be nice. It's sort of if it were a form of music, I think it would be easy listening. He uses the Bible like a fortune cookie. This is what's going to happen for you. There's going to be a windfall in your life tomorrow. The Bible's not meant to be read that way.
Reverend Horton believes Osteen tells only half the story of the Bible, focusing on the good news without talking about sin, suffering, and redemption. And Reverend Horton goes even further. He levels the harshest charge of all, calling the Osteen method of teaching heresy.
It is certainly heresy, I believe, to say that God is our resource for getting our best life now. Because, well, it makes religion about us instead of about God.
That last sentence was crucial. I want to illustrate to you, and this is why I played all that, is to say how much it is about God and not about us. I want you to get a hold of that truth this morning. That's why I did all that introduction, was for that last phrase. Now let's see our condition prior to our salvation. When we look at reconciliation, there is a separation between us and God. There are four words in Romans chapter 5 which describe our condition prior to being reconciled. First one is found in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5. For while we were still what? Romans 5, verse 6. No. Helpless. Powerless. The first word that is used to describe my condition before God in verse 6. Helpless. Powerless. That means devoid of strength, not having the resources, lacking any authority or capacity to act. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. My truck has a problem. It stalls out all the time. Ford has a recall on the camshaft sensor, so it doesn't do that. But I give you that illustration because when that happens and it cuts out, guess what? I'm powerless until I turn the key on again. And Tiffany and I are going to school this past week, you know, going up 20. All of a sudden, I'm in the left lane with four cars behind me. Going uphill. I am what? Powerless. In danger. Got over to the side, turn the key, start back up. There it is. Powerless! You get that sick feeling. Spiritually, you are powerless and helpless before a holy God. You cannot do anything about your condition. Not only that, but you are, in verse 6, ungodly. Ungodly. Destitute of a reverential awe towards God. It is a denying of God and who He is. The Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And what this is talking about in this context is the person who denies the intuitive nature in the heart that says there must be a God. We are ungodly. And then, of course, you know this next word in verse 8, and you've heard it before. God demonstrates His love toward us, and that while we were yet what? Sinners. One that lives in opposition to the divine will. One that sins. You live in opposition to the divine will. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, the person who sins will die. The wages of sin is death. So, I'm helpless. I'm ungodly. I'm a sinner. In verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Verse 10 says, I am an enemy. One that is antagonistic toward another. Get this, a hostile unit or force. A military adversary. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, and though you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, you engaged in evil deeds, Colossians 1:21. The spiritual principle that I want you to see is simply this. Man is absolutely devoid of any redeeming attribute whereby he can satisfy the just requirements of a holy God. What does it say? I am helpless, powerless, ungodly. I'm a sinner, and I'm an enemy. I want to ask you a question. From the human perspective, let's just say that you've been wronged. Okay, somebody wrongs you, you're offended, something happened. There was no liability on your part. It's understood that you're not at fault. And you're pretty ticked off about how things went in this circumstance because of it. Who's responsible to make amends or remedy the wrong? Are you? Well, the person who did the wrong. Who's in the wrong before God? From the human perspective, who do you think would be responsible to make remedy, to make right, to make whole what we are supposed to be before God? You would think that it would be upon us. But there's a problem. We can't. We can't. No matter how hard you try, you can't. It's not about you trying. And not only that, it says in verse 9, much more than having been justified by His blood, we are saved from the what? Wrath. That means prior to, if I'm saved from the wrath when I'm justified, if I'm not justified and I'm a sinner, who's ticked off? Who's angry about this? God. Now understand this, please. God is angry with man, but we're helpless, ungodly, and sinners. Wow, we're really separated from Him. We're really separated. If you look at that then, but where does the reconciliation come in? I already covered that. The source of reconciliation. I want you to see, first of all, the manner of reconciliation, the manner, the way of acting, how is it provided, what is done. Understand this, please. The person, God, the one who is offended, who is angry, the one who, under, from our perspective, in a human way of speaking, we say the person who's done the wrong is the one who's got to make it right. God says, I am angry at man's sin, but I will love him at the same time, and I will provide for that helpless individual who cannot help themselves. Do you understand the depth of it's not about you and it's all about Him? Do you understand that when you have a God who is angry at sin, at the same time turns and says, I love you and I will send my Son to die for you and I will make it whole. I'll make it right. I'll provide the way. It is all about Him. And so we are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us and He reconciles us. How? To Himself. He reconciles us to Himself, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Now all these things are from God. We're reconciled. He restores us to a place of friendship or harmony. That's what the word reconciliation means. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, gave us a ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 21, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, God provided it through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you stop and you think a minute. I'm helpless. Absolutely helpless and powerless. I can do nothing. I'm an enemy. I'm a sinner. I'm ungodly before Him. And then God does all the work. He does it through the sending of His Son. He says, I'll pay for you the sin on the cross of Calvary. He died on the cross for you. He suffered an agonizing death on the cross. And I did it for you. I love you and I'll die in your place. I pay for it. How do you get from the state of doing nothing to the work that God did? How do you make it yours? The manner is He did it. The means, Christ died for us. We are justified by His blood. And we are reconciled through the death of His Son, Romans 5:10. Question, how do we appropriate the work that's already done? We receive it. We receive it by faith. Believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. You want a clarification? He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. There is a limit to this illustration. But you know, football. You know, there's the quarterback, ball's high, receiver goes down the field. So he's running. Spiritually, you're powerless, so you can't even run. You can't even get out in the open. But somebody else does all the work and throws the football so it just lands right here. And you just cradle it and say, thank you, God, and you receive what He's done. Now, where we can get hung up is this matter of belief. The Bible says that the devil believes too. What's he talking about? But let's get a couple points down. God does all the work to bring men into a right relationship with Himself. It's all about Him. It's not about me. Reconciliation is through Christ's death on the cross alone. So the act of reconciliation is the work of God through the death of Christ on the cross to bring men to a holy standing before Him. Wow. I want to give you then this third point, and we'll examine belief in the middle of this. What does it do? My standing before God is holy. We're holy before God now through Christ, and one day we will stand before Him in complete purity. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Why? Yet He has reconciled you in His flesh through death in order to present you. That means to stand before Him one day completely holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Now, holy, I can't comprehend that. Not only that, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, much more than having been justified, verse 9, by His blood we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. I'm already saved. And if while we were the enemies and we were hostile to God, God reconciled us to Himself, He's bringing us up to what He requires. We are reconciled to Him. And if I am reconciled to Him, to God, through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, will be saved by His life. Right now, Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me. And we have an advocate. And we come before God, and we're not holy. And Jesus says, through me, yes they are. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. And He had made purification. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. And so God gave us a message to proclaim. He gave us a message, the gospel, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 through 21. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God, get this phrase. You would think that, okay, I'll send my Son to die for the people that are going to end up being my best friends. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. It's available for all. Not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. And we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled. Turn to Him. Why? He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, if you understand this message, and if you believe in Him, some will say, well, I'm going to believe, but I'm going to fool around on the weekend. I'm going to believe, But it doesn't really matter what I watch. Believe and feel whatever you want in there. I'll just have my salvation and then I'm going to go live my life. Do you really understand reconciliation then? Do you understand the cross? Do you understand the price that was paid? Do you understand grace? Because if you do, there will be an attitude change, and it's described in our text. Look at it, Romans chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I must receive it by faith and believe. And if I do that, what will be my attitude change? And not only this, but we also, what is the word? Exalt God. I can't help but exalt Him. Don't you see what He's done for me? I couldn't save myself, but I have the forgiveness of sins. It's not about my life being perfect. It's not about the cross being a rabbit's foot. It's about being saved from the fires of hell. And I don't mean more than fire insurance, but He wants a relationship with me. He wants me to be His friend. Even when I'm an enemy and I'm ungodly and He's saying, come to me. But when I understand the cross and the reconciliation that I have, I can't help but exalt Him. And I'm pushing it when I say, you're not doing that. Are you saved? I'm pushing it. I know. That was hard. But I'm just asking. Can a person rebel? Yeah. But when I understand the cross, how can I not? When I get a hold of grace that I'm not worthy, how can it not? And if I walk around in my life and I say, it's about me, and it's about my life and my job and what I want, that's not the cross. Are you exalting God? You were a person who couldn't save yourself, and God did all the work in reconciliation. And my question to you then is simply this, that you savor all of God. He is your joy. You exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 40, do you savor Him and delight Him? Psalm 40. Oh, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. And He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which You have done and Your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with You. Oh, if I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering You have not desired, My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required, but I said, behold, I come, and in the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I'm changed. Because I'm reconciled to you. It's all about Him. It's not about you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you just search your heart this morning before God? God wants to bring you to a point of friendship with Him, to where it's all Him. God has done the work to reconcile Himself, to reconcile you to Him. Would you turn to Him if you haven't? Is God working in your heart in such a way that you can say, Lord, I'm coming to the cross. I'm claiming Christ and His work for me. I'm trusting Him. Believer, rejoice in your salvation and what you have in Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, would you finish the message in our heart by the way of the Holy Spirit? For we pray in Thy name. Amen.